Proverbs, the fourth chapter, a very familiar portion of Scripture. I want to talk to you today about keeping a tender heart. I want to share with you from God's Word the importance of maintaining a tender heart and how we go about keeping a tender heart. There are a great many believers, those who have been washed in the blood of Jesus, who have made shipwreck of their faith because they have not kept watch over their heart. And they have not maintained a diligent, vigilant soberness in watching after their heart. And consequently, a heart that is what was once soft and tender towards the things of God becomes hard and seared and no longer open to God. Beginning to read in the 20th verse and reading four verses as follows. My son, attend to my words. I want you to notice today the very close relationship between the heart of a believer and the Word of God. Attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they, that is my words, are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Solomon said that out of a man's heart arise all of the issues of his life. That if he will keep his heart, it will be profitable to him. If he fails to keep his heart, it will be unprofitable. And he says further that the keeping of a man's heart requires diligence. It is not something that you do at an altar one day when you fall under conviction and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, but rather it is something that you must do every day of your life. This matter of heart keeping is a daily part of the Christian life. And the way that we are to keep our heart is by diligence in accordance with the Word of God. We are to keep our heart tender and soft by doing what God reveals to us in His Word. When we resist His Word, we become hard and we pay the price. Now, I want you to go with me to 2 Chronicles, and I want to read you a story from the life of one of Israel's kings, which illustrates this point. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. I want to read you a story about the life of a man named Josiah. 2 Chronicles chapter 34. The story of the life of King Josiah. Josiah was a descendant from the line of David. He reigned many years after David. He was a very young man when he began to reign, 8 years old. But I want you, in this man's life, I want you to notice something about him and remember that we are examining the importance of maintaining a tender and soft heart, and that the way a tender and soft heart is maintained is by doing what God reveals to you to do. When we resist the revelation of God, we harden our heart. When we yield to the revelation of God, we keep our heart soft and tender. And a tender heart is profitable. A hard heart will bring us to destruction. The story from the life of Josiah really shows us that. I believe as I'm sharing this scripture, I'm going to read all the way through it because it's all important, and I just comment on it as we go. the word of God preaches itself this morning along these lines. And I believe as you see Josiah's life and as you see his example, you will see yourself on one end of the spectrum, and perhaps it will help you to understand circumstances in the lives of others, perhaps, that you're seeing. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 31 years. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in the ways of David his father, and declined neither to the right hand nor to the left. Now we're going to see that this man Josiah had his heart turned towards God. He was a man that did not have all the answers, as we're going to see later, but he was walking in what he knew to be truth. The revelation that he had, he was doing. He was obedient to the vision and the revelation that he had. And while it was short and while it was very limited, you could see that his heart was towards God because he was operating in the light that he had. Now, he started his rule at 8 years old as king. He walked and sought after God like David his father did. And we're told that in verse 3, in the 8th year of his reign, he's still 16 years old. Just about the age of our high school graduates here. While he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. And in the 12th year, that is, he would be 20, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem from the high places and the groves and the carved images and the molten images. In other words, he knew that it was wrong for Israel to be worshiping these false gods, and so he began to rip down these worship places other than the holy place of God, and he began to clean up the act of the nation, if you will. And they break down the altars of Balaam in his presence, and the images that were on high above them he cut down, and the groves and the carved images and the molten images he break in pieces and made dust of them. And he strode upon the graves of them that had sacrificed upon them. And he burnt the bones of the priests upon their altars and cleansed Judah and Jerusalem. And so did he in the cities of Manasseh and Ephraim and Simeon, even unto Naphtali with their mattocks round about. And when he had broken down the altars and the groves and had beaten the graven images into powder and cut down all the idols throughout all the land of Israel, he returned to Jerusalem. In other words, he thoroughly walked in the light that he had. Now, in the 18th year of his reign, he would be 26 years old, when he had purged the land and the house, he sent Shaphan, the house of the son of Azaliah, and Maaseiah, the governor of the city, and Joah, the son of Joahaz, the recorder, to repair the house of the Lord his God. The temple that Solomon had erected had fallen into disuse. It was very much in disrepair. And it was Josiah's vision and his plan to repair the temple and to restore the worship of God. And when they came to Hilkiah the high priest, they delivered the money that was brought into the house of God, which the Levites that kept the doors had gathered of the hand of Manasseh and Ephraim and of all the remnant of Israel, and of all Judah and Benjamin, and they returned to Jerusalem. And they put it in the hand of the workmen that had oversight of the house of the Lord, and they gave it to the workmen that wrought in the house of the Lord to repair and amend the house. Even to the artificers and builders gave they it, to buy hewn stone and timber for couplings, and to floor the houses which the kings of Judah had destroyed. And the men did the work faithfully. And the overseers of them were Jahath, and Obadiah the Levites of the son of Merari, and Zechariah and Meshullam of the sons of the Kohathites, to set it forward, and other of the Levites, all that could skill of instruments of music. And also they were over the bearers of burdens, and were overseers of all that wrought in any manner of service, and of the Levites there were scribes and officers and porters. Now, Josiah has cleansed the nation from idol worship, and he is in the process of restoring the temple of God. And a very interesting thing happens. Verse 14. And when they brought out the money that was brought into the house of the Lord, Hilkiah the priest found a book of the law of the Lord given by Moses. Now, for many, many years, the Bible had been lost. For many, many years, the word of God had been covered with rubble in the temple. For many years, the people did not have the revelation of God's word. Josiah had a very limited understanding of what God's word had to say. He walked in what he knew, but he did not know very much. And so here in the restoration of the temple, as they are digging around in the temple, they found the books of Moses. They found the law of God. And Hilkiah the high priest brought it out. Verse 15, and Hilkiah answered and said to Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah delivered the book to Shaphan. And Shaphan carried the book to the king and brought the king word back again, saying, all that was committed to thy servants, they do it. In other words, the repairing and the restoration of the temple is going on, and it's just as you commanded. And he continues his report by saying, and they have gathered together the money that was found in the house of the Lord and have delivered it into the hand of the overseers and to the hand of the workmen. Then Shaphan the scribe told the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass that when the king had heard the words of the law, that he rent his clothes. Now here was a man who loved God, who was walking in the light of the revelation he had. His heart was turned towards the Lord, and immediately when he had more illumination in the scriptures, immediately it brought upon him, because his heart was soft and tender, it brought upon him a spirit of repentance rather than a spirit of stubbornness. And instantly, when the word of God shone upon his heart, immediately he rent his clothes, which was symbolic of his rending his heart. And he said, oh my God, what have we done? Oh my Lord, we have missed it so desperately. Oh God, what a terrible strait we are in. As opposed to saying, well, how could God hold us accountable? We didn't know. But I don't think I'm going to place any concern on this. After all, I'm the king. Well, if God really was concerned about this, he could have made us aware of it. I don't care what that old book says. I know that I know that I know that I know. But that's not where his heart was. His heart was not hard. His heart was not stubborn. But his heart was soft and it was tender towards God. And instantly, when the new revelation came from the word of God, immediately he received it into his spirit and he acted upon it. His immediate response was repentance. 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 Verse 20, and the king commanded Hilkiah, and Ahikam the son of Shaphan, and Abdon the son of Micah, and Shaphan the scribe, and Asaiah the servant of the king's, saying, go, inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and in Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. And the words to do are an important part of that verse. Josiah did not stand in his own righteousness. He did not say, well, this is really no problem for me because my heart was turned towards God. As far as I'm concerned, I'm sure I'm all right. But when he saw the standard that God had set, and he realized that not he, nor any of the people of Israel, nor his forefathers and his ancestors had measured up to the standard of God, when he became aware of the curse that God had pronounced upon a disobedient and rebellious and gainsaying people, he said, go and inquire of the Lord and find out what God's further revelation would be for us now today. I want to know, is there anything that we can do? Unfortunately, fortunately, there are those people still in the church today. When they get the additional revelation of God's word, they say, oh my God, I didn't know that was in there. What can I do to become a doer of the word? Unfortunately, there are a large number of people in the Church of Jesus Christ who stubbornly adhere to their own ideas and their own opinions, stubbornly adhering to the traditions of men and the traditions of their fathers, and will not yield to the revelation of God's word as it comes. And what is happening to people in that situation is that they are becoming harder and harder and harder. And the reason that resistance to the Word of God is there is because the heart has been hardened over a long period of time. Keep thy heart with all diligence, Solomon said, for out of it flows all the issues of life. If you allow your heart to be hardened by resisting the Word of God, it will be very difficult for God to ever get additional revelation over to you. Let me give you a simple illustration of what I mean. You've been sitting in a church for years. You've been raised in a church and you've done all kinds of good works. You have customarily, you hear me refer to making chicken salad sandwiches. You know, you've made thousands of chicken salad sandwiches. You've cut the grass regularly when the grass needs cut. You've sung in the choir. You've played the piano. You've done all the things that tradition in your church says you need to do. And all of a sudden, one day, some guy stands up in the pulpit of your church and he brings you the simple gospel of Jesus Christ and says, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. But you say, bless God, I've been a blank all my life. I've never heard it preached like that. I've been okay since I've been born. My father and mother are Christian, grown in a Christian home. My grandfather was a circuit rider in the Methodist church. My uncle is a preacher in the Baptist church, etc., 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 etc. And I'm just not receiving that. On the other hand, there's a guy sitting right next to you. And as he hears that same gospel preached, except a man be born again, he cannot see or enter into the kingdom of God. He says, oh my God, I'm undone. All my chicken salad sandwiches and all my tithes and all of my Sunday school lessons and all of my teaching and all of my grass cuttings and all of my pine cones I picked up and all of those things, they don't mean anything. Oh my God, what'll I do? His heart is soft and tender towards God, and as he gets that additional revelation in his heart, he falls on his knees and he says, Jesus, come into my heart and save me. Now, that's the difference, you see, between a man that's got a soft heart and a man that's got a hard one. We see the same thing happening in our churches as the Holy Spirit is poured out. And as the revelation is coming concerning the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there are some that are sitting there and they're saying, oh Lord, this is fantastic. What can I do? You know, I want that. There are others who are saying, I never heard of it. They just don't want it. Praise God for the new revelation that he's pouring out on healing and on deliverance. But there are those that are sitting stiff-necked and uncircumcised in their ears and heart, arms folded and teeth gritted, sitting right in the pews. No, sir, I don't believe it. It's always God's will to heal. Even though the word of God is clear. If your heart isn't soft, beloved, you are not going to be able to receive the revelation. What if God's got something more he wants to show us? You know who's going to receive it? Those who have a tender and soft heart towards God. When the illumination came, Josiah said, well, I see myself in that. We're in trouble. He repented. He said, we're in trouble because we have not been doers of the word that's in this book. Our forefathers did not do what it says do. They never told us and we didn't do. Now what's going to happen to us? And so he sent these men to inquire of God. Now in that day, the only way you could hear from God is you had to go to the prophet. This particular day, the prophet happened to be a prophetess. Her name was Huldah. Verse 22, we're told, Hilkiah and they that the king had appointed went to Huldah the prophetess. Now remember, Hilkiah is the priest. You see, the priest spoke for men to God. The prophet spoke from God to men under the old covenant. And so Hilkiah did not have the word of the Lord. He had the word of men. And so he goes to the prophetess to get the word of the Lord on behalf of the king. They went to Huldah the prophetess, the wife of Shallum, the son of Tikvath, the son of Hazra, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college. And they spake to her to that effect. In other words, what the king's question was. And she answered them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell ye the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord. Behold, I will bring evil upon this place. And upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the curses that are written in the book, which they have read before the king of Judah. The curses are listed in Deuteronomy 28 and following. Right after the blessings for being doers of the word, appear the curses for failure to do the word. Who sent you to inquire of the Lord, so shall ye say unto him. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which thou hast heard. Because thine heart was tender. Hallelujah. And thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words. When you heard the word of God, because your heart was soft, you humbled yourself before God, which is something you could not have done if your heart had been hard. But here was a man whose heart was tender, whose heart was soft towards God. It had been that way all of his life. We saw it earlier in the scriptures, didn't we? And when the word of God went forth, when you heard the word of God, because your heart was tender, this 27th verse is filled with important revelation for us. This is why some people, when they hear the word of God, they get harder and harder, and other people get softer and softer. The same sun that melts butter makes clay hard. Same sun. Different materials. One gets soft and melts, and the other one gets harder and harder and harder until it finally breaks. That's the way it is with the human heart. And that's why Solomon said, keep your heart tender. Keep your heart soft. Be diligent about it every day. Don't let one day go by that you refuse to be a doer of God's word. When God says, do this, do it. When God said, believe on Jesus, believe on him. When God's word says, receive ye the Holy Ghost, receive him. When the scripture says, lift up your hands in the sanctuary, lift up your hands. When it says, bless ye the Lord, bless the Lord. When it says, forgive, forgive. When it says, pray, pray. When it says, don't hold on, don't hold on. When it says, be tenderhearted and forgiving one another, then do so. When it says, lay hands on the sick, do it. When it says, preach the gospel to every creature, do it. When it says, be under authority, be it. When it says, exercise authority and dominion, do it. Are you listening to me? God gives revelation, 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 revelation. Those who are soft and tenderhearted say, oh, I want to do that. Lord, show me how to do it. Those that are hard say, I don't want to have anything to do with that. I never heard that before. Because thine heart. Now, this is God speaking. This is not just God's word. This is God personally speaking to this man, Josiah. My Bible tells me God's no respecter of persons. He treats us all alike. If he felt this way about Josiah, don't you think he feels this way about you and me? Because thine heart was what? Here's a man, even though he sat on the throne of Israel from the time he was 8 years old, the only thing he ever knew was power. But his heart was soft. When he got the revelation from God's word, it had been covered up in that rubble and that dust and those stones had covered up the word of God all of those years. Isn't this what is happening today? Isn't God uncovering his word in this age? Don't we see the revelation of God coming forth from this word, volume after volume after volume in this age? What should be our response to that? Solomon would say, keep your heart with all diligence. It's coming in waves. Well, I've never heard that before. If it's in the word, do it. Do it. Otherwise, your heart will get hard. When your heart gets hard by resisting God's word. It retains its softness and its tenderness by yielding to the word of God and by doing it. If you don't remember anything else I said today, remember that, because that's the keystone now on which this message is constructed. Because thine heart was tender and thou didst humble thyself before God when thou heardest his words. I love that. It's so insightful. When thou heardest his words against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. Next verse. Behold, I will gather thee to thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered to thy grave in peace. Do you understand what that means? You are not going to experience the curses of God. You're going to go to your grave. I'll gather you to your fathers, those that preceded you. When you die, the wrath of God will not as yet have fallen. Because your heart was soft, you bypass this. It's profitable for you to maintain a tender heart. The scripture says that it's life to those that find the word of God. Didn't we read that in Proverbs 4? Neither shall thine eyes see all the evil that I will bring upon this place and upon the inhabitants of the same. I see that there's a difference in you, God said to Josiah. You're not like the rest of these people. Your heart's not like them. And I want you to observe that because Josiah had a soft and tender heart, and because upon the illumination of the word of God, he immediately repented that he found with God forgiveness. Because his heart was soft and his heart was tender, even though he had previously been guilty, his repentance evoked from God forgiveness. Because you rent your clothes and because you wept before me, I heard you, and I'm going to gather you to your fathers in peace. I'm going to save you. That forgiveness provided for this man salvation. Do you see it? Is it as clear to you as it is to me? I pray that I have not belabored the point this morning. It's such a simple and basic one, but it is one that very many Christians miss. You cannot maintain a hard heart towards the word of God and continue to operate in prosperity on the things of God. You can't. A soft and tender heart means life and health. A hard heart means destruction and evil. Josiah found life. And he found health. And he found it by keeping his heart diligently. And he kept his heart soft and tender by being a doer of the word. Whenever he saw something in the scripture, even though he had never seen it before, he said, that's the word of God. It means if my life is in opposition to that, then I'm going to have to change my life and turn it around. I'm going to have to do something differently. The word of God means change for me. The revelation of God's word makes a difference in my life. I have a deep concern for people who sit in churches week after week after week on whom the word of God has no effect, on whom the word of God doesn't seem to make any difference. Hear it, they read it, they hear it preached, but they're not changed. The word of God has the power to change you and to change me, but it cannot do it unless we respond to it by faith. Believe it and do it. I want to say to you just about your own personal salvation this morning. If you're here in this church today, and you have heard the gospel message, you've heard it today, and you refuse to respond to that and refuse to believe on Jesus and confess yourself a sinner and ask him for his forgiveness, your heart gets harder today than it was yesterday. Did you know that? Oh, well, I just put that off and do it tomorrow. Maybe you will and maybe you won't. There's a young Methodist girl, 19, 20 years old, this week was killed in an automobile accident here in Douglasville. I don't know what her spiritual condition was, but I'm sure she didn't have any idea that she was going to check out last week. Do you think? How about you? Do you know how many more days you have? What's the condition of your heart? Are you walking in the light you have? Have you made a decision to be a doer of the Word of God that has been revealed to you? Or are you still stubbornly resisting that which you clearly see to be truth? Keep your heart, Solomon said, with all diligence. For out of your heart, listen, not out of the circumstances of the world, out of your heart, proceed all of the issues of your life. You see, the way you are responding to the Word of God today is drawing a map for your life tomorrow. Can you see that? A tender-hearted man will find grace. A hard-hearted man will find destruction. Let me ask you to bow your heads, please. Hey, Father, I thank you. For revelation in your word. From this day forth, my heart will be tender and soft. I will know that it's tender and soft. Because I will receive your word. I'll receive it joyfully and gladly. And I will put it into practice in my life.
I will be a doer of your word.
And not just a hearer.
I refuse to be hard-hearted.
I refuse to allow any hardness.
I will be soft and tender.
And I know that'll be profitable to me.
I know that you will spare me the evil to come.
And you will spare anyone else.
That I may be able to lead.
To live this same way.
In Jesus' name I confess it.
Because I believe it.
Amen.
You're